Tyler Courtney cashes in. I just don't care that much about tracks taking rubber. And the one thing that Brad Sweet and Kyle Larson just can't escape with High Limit. Let's go. It's Tuesday, May 14th. I'm Justin Fiedler. This is Dirt Tracker Daily presented by Kubota Genuine Parts. Kokomo Speedway last night was the site of round at number 3 of the Kubota High Limit Midweek Championship Series. Nice field, 42 cars, and like we talked about yesterday, just Buddy Kofoid in appearance as a World of Outlaws driver using a freebie. I had forgotten as well that yesterday was the Outlaw appearance at the Milton Hershey School in Pennsylvania, so a lot of teams were taking part in activities there. Kofoid did sit on the night's pole and lead laps, but he ultimately ended up third behind winner Tyler Courtney and Spencer Baston. Sunshine took over the lead in lap traffic and got the move done right before the rubber really got bad and led the final 19 laps to pick up High Limit win number 3 on the season. It was his first series win since Golden Isles on February 22nd, although he's led laps a bunch of places in between and been fast at a lot of these races. Sunshine's win and trouble for Corey Day sees him now atop the midweek title fight, and the 7BC did make up a little ground on Sweet for the season-long championship battle. Brad Sweet finished 5th last night. Day led laps, but lost his right front wheel on lap 7. Looks like something with the hub just completely broke off. Day was able to get back out of the work area with a new front end, but was then involved in several more incidents through the night. He was trying to kind of fight back from the rear, and there was just a lot of things going on. Day eventually lost a tire late in the rubber and finished P24. It's been his worst finish to date. I've said this before and I'll say it again. I don't think tracks taking rubber is that big of a deal. I know everyone loses their minds over it, but we still saw plenty of good racing last night. And if this stuff was easy, meaning track prep, everyone would be able to do it and everyone could do it. And like, you just don't see that, right? Nobody wants a racetrack to take rubber. You don't see it that often at Kokomo, and I'm not going to sit here and kill anyone for it. It's just the nature of track prep. It's just the nature of the sport of dirt racing that periodically throughout a season, you're going to have tracks take rubber. You certainly hope it doesn't happen, but barring some sort of insane negligence on the track's part, like they just let the track sit for a month before they showed up to race, you're never going to hear me get on the show and attack a facility for it. There are plenty of other places online you can go if that's what you're looking for. Couple of other notes for you. Dashes in these formats often take a beating for offering not much in terms of excitement. And I know that a lot of you have very strong opinions about them. Last night, though, we saw something that had never previously happened before with High Limit. Corey Day's 8th to 2nd charge was the biggest move ever in a dash with the series. The last time a driver went plus 6 in a dash with any of the National Touring Sprint Car Series was Brad Sweet with the Outlaws at World Finals in 2022. And looking back through the 2017 Outlaw season, we've had drivers go 8th to the win in dashes 3 times, and that's obviously the biggest charge you can make. The 8th is the final starting spot in a dash to the win. Corey Eliason did it at Stockton, and David Gravel did it at Eldora in 2018. And then the most recent example was Brad Sweet at Knoxville in 2022. So it is possible to start towards the rear in a dash and still find yourself on the feature front row. It just doesn't happen super often, but it does happen. I also wanted to talk today about what went down with Kyle Larson and just some of the larger general feelings around High Limit. Larson didn't have a great qualifying run last night, and he started 7th in that first heat race. He needed to get to 5th to transfer to the feature, and he ended up tangling with fast timer Kel Thomas and going for a tumble down the backstretch. It was kind of a weird, slow slider. Thomas was able to stay on Larson's outside, and I think Young Money didn't know he was going to be there on corner exit. Two just kind of met in the middle. Thomas was able to salvage his night and make the feature, but Larson wasn't so lucky. He started at the tail of a 6-car C-main and then couldn't track down Casey Kane late for a spot in the B. And because he can't run the full midweek deal, which we talked about on a recent daily show, Larson's lost access to provisionals, so the 57 was done for the night. He was 3rd in the C. Larson wouldn't normally have provisionals for regular high limit races because he's not a full-timer there, but because he was full-time, the midweek deal, he was still eligible for provisionals on those nights, but obviously now that's gone. It was a career worst finish with High Limit, and Larson's first C-main exit since Eldora in 2022 with the Outlaws. There was criticism in the aftermath for Larson tangling with a driver like Thomas driving for Jay Kaiser, but clearly we've forgotten that when you drive around 1,000 horsepower go-karts with airplane wings on the roofs, that sometimes stuff goes sideways. especially when dudes are just a tad desperate. Ask Zane DeVault about that. It very much sounds like the same comments we hear when people complain about Larson or Brad Sweet winning these races. Jeremy Elliott had a video this week about Brad Sweet conspiracy theories, and I think it's interesting to note how some of the reactions go with these two and High Limit. When they win, it's, I can't believe they started a series just to beat everyone and take all of the cash. Those folks must have missed Larson's 30% win percentage with the Outlaws the last several years, or Brad winning 5 straight Outlaw titles. Newsflash, they didn't need to start a series to win something. And when, God forbid, they don't win, it's clearly because they were just sandbagging and letting someone else win for appearances, not because they just legitimately got beat. And I will again point here to Larson's 30% win rate. That's really good, but it also means that 70% of the time, he didn't win because, you know, math. And that's really my main point here. As long as these two are racing, which is hopefully for many more years to come, some portion of the fans and industry are just not going to let this go, that they own the series and they race in it. It's always going to be bubbling under the surface. Anytime something happens, you're going to immediately have those folks firing away with comments. See, I told you, this is why this is bad. It doesn't matter that they hired a respected officiating staff to address integrity. It doesn't matter that Larson doesn't even race full-time. It doesn't matter that they have a full-time traveling safety team. It doesn't matter that they have a packed pit area with a bunch of drivers and a bunch of teams who just don't seem to care about any of this. It doesn't matter that they pay good money on a Monday night. The Outlaws certainly have a few criticisms and attacks that the haters always use and always bring up, and I guess this is just how folks are going to attack High Limit and these guys. It took exactly 25% of the first full season being complete for me to already be tired of all of it. Looking ahead to tonight, don't forget the Flow Racing Night in America late models at Brownstown are rained out, but there is other racing tonight as the Short Track Super Series will be at Accord Speedway for $9,000 to win. This will be the start of the North Region Championship. Matt Sheppard won this race a year ago, and Matt Williamson, Anthony Perrigo, and Andy Bichetti are all also recent past winners there. Sheppard will be looking to bounce back from the DNF the last time out at Delaware, and Bichetti could be a guy to watch as well. He's already won at Accord this season, and he is a weekly regular there. There should be plenty of other contenders as well, including last week's winner, Stuart Friesen. If you aren't headed to the track tonight, you can watch the Short Track Super Series live on Flow Racing. That's it for the show today. Stop by DirtTracker.com for all of the latest dirt racing news, plus the analytics section and the daily streaming schedule. Hope you guys have a great Tuesday out there. We'll see you right back here tomorrow.